This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
That's right, it is Free Talk Live, and you are free to call in and talk live here on the airwaves. It's been a lot of calls tonight, guys. Yeah, I gotta say, I'm very pleased about that. And, every time people call in, I don't have to do as much work. But we were previously in the first hour, which, you know, seems so long ago, we were talking about this revelation, I guess.
Before we switch gears, I did want to point out a thought that I had about now that we have this footage where he's saying, "I can't breathe" from the very beginning.
You're talking about George Floyd?
Yeah. And one of the things that struck me about that is, so the phrase "I can't breathe" is a weirdly politicized phrase.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't help but think of two scenarios in this. Like, one, we discussed briefly the idea of, he's obviously saying he needs medical attention, and instead of giving him medical attention, you are focusing all of your efforts on detaining him. But the other thing that crossed my mind is, what if they took this as him getting politically anti-police and, you know, made some different decisions based on that?
Yeah, what if he was, referencing the killing in Staten Island of the guy that was selling loose cigarettes, and he was had some illegal hold put on him and died as a result? So, he had said several times he couldn't breathe, right? You know, that is a possibility.
Which is part of why I don't think that's a phrase that should be politicized.
Indeed. So, this article here from the Gateway Pundit is talking about the situation with COVID-19. And apparently, although there are 170,000 deaths that are COVID-related, there are only 9,200 and 10 deaths that are just COVID is listed as the cause of death. Now, look, everything's a tragedy. Every death's a tragedy for the family that has to deal with it. I'm not saying that it's not. But it's kind of interesting, and then we don't know, because these are broken out by age cells, so apparently age is not listed as a factor, that some of these may just be deaths from old age. You know, we don't
especially know. Given that the median age tends to be somewhere in the very high 70s to low 80s.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We're going to find out more and more about this COVID thing as time goes on. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the government's job to protect you. It's not other people's job to protect you. It's your job to protect yourself. So, if you're concerned about your health and remaining alive during this COVID crisis, stay home, stay safe, and don't think that you can stop other people from living life just as a result, I think is really what I would like to say about this whole thing. Melanie, apparently it is illegal in Australia to discuss your rape.
Yes. So this is from the Daily Mail in UK. So major victory for pedophiles as baffling law is passed that could see rape and sexual assault victims thrown into jail just for telling their story.
Nothing better than laws that protect rapists and pedophiles.
Yeah, Victorian, which is a province in Australia.
Yep.
Sexual assault survivors could be jailed for up to 4 months or face fines exceeding $3,000. For telling their stories using their real names, the victims' real names, not even the perpetrators' real names.
Right. So if I'm getting this correctly, then basically if you, for whatever reason, you're talking to, say, the press as a woman, or as a rape victim, I should say, could be anything, anybody, and you're not allowed, not just to not allowed to identify your attacker, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me, even after they've been convicted.
Even after they've been convicted.
You're not also not allowed to give your own name.
Yes.
As a result, which sounds like muzzling the press to me.
So this thing happened to my friend, and I'm going to give a detailed first-person perspective on it. But I can't tell you it happened to me, because that would be 3 months in jail.
And then the press can't publish your name either.
Mm.
Right. I mean, you could just, presumably you could say anonymous. An anonymous woman has stated that an anonymous attacker,
It seems that way. I'm not confident enough in my understanding of Australian law to be able to say that definitively.
So go on with the report here.
The Judicial Proceedings Reports Act was changed in February, prohibiting victims from identifying themselves publicly if their attacker has been found guilty. The new law applies retrospectively, meaning victims who have lawfully spoken out previously are now censored from speaking out publicly. I don't think that that's how they meant. I don't think that they meant ex post facto. I think that they meant conviction was in the past, you still also can't talk.
You could previously mention, prior to the enactment of this rule, that Johnny McRaper raped you, and now you can't, basically, yes, is what they're saying.
And media outlets who defy the law can also be prosecuted and face fines of up to $8,000. The only way for victims to identify themselves and tell their stories is to obtain a court order, which is not only time-consuming, but will cost more than $10,000 in legal fees. It's unclear if that's a legal court fee or if that's also attorney's fees.
Just astonishing.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. I mean, you know, here in America, in the United States, this is just so outlandish, the idea. You know, in a country where we have sex offenders lists, the idea that people... You know,
oh, yeah, if you got guilty of rape, we will make sure everyone knows here.
Right.
That's not entirely true, because there was a case, I forgot what the girl's name was, and she was a girl, she was young, who the judge gave her a gag order for the ongoing case and said that not only could she not name the defendant, but she couldn't even talk about what happened publicly. And she wasn't like a public figure or anything, so she didn't have much publicly
going on
in her available to her, but she could not even talk to anybody about a thing that happens to her in her life because this judge, I mean,
and not,
U.S. courts have no problem handing out gag orders for things that don't make sense to hand out gag orders on.
Well, and not to defend that, because that's indefensible, but at least that was limited to while it was an ongoing trial.
Yeah, once he's found guilty, then at that point it's all fair game.
Whereas this is specifically for after the trial is over. You're not allowed to talk about this happening to you in particular.
And while I would say that... it is appropriate that people be able to serve their time and then learn from... I mean, if the idea of a penitentiary is that we are penitent for our behavior, and presumably you're let out of the penitentiary after having been sufficiently penitent, is the idea. Not that there's any way to know that, but...
You've been sufficiently penalized.
Right. You've been penalized in the penal building. It seems like you should be able to go on and start a new life and, that sort of thing, especially, you know, as certain breakpoints are met, milestones are met, say, you know, 1 year out, 5 years out, or that sort of thing. I think that the idea of holding somebody responsible for something that happened decades ago is kind of pointless.
So even if, I don't necessarily fully agree with that, but even if I did, that's between you and the state, not you and the victim.
Correct.
Regardless of what the crime is, it seems more reasonable to me in the case of rape. But even if you went into a restaurant and stole a mug, and 30 years later the owner wants to be bitter about it, that's his prerogative, and the court has no business telling him not to. And I think that that's even more unreasonable for, you know, an actual Not an act.
A heinous crime,
yeah.
Well, I would like to see people be able to start their lives anew, that the idea that somebody gets convicted and has to be an underclass individual for the rest of their life, I think, is pointless and probably results in more crimes. But we can talk about it more here on Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. What do you think? Free Talk Live.
News from news.bitcoin.com. U.S. Postal Service files a patent for new blockchain voting method. Warren Buffett changes his opinion on gold. Maybe Bitcoin is next. $6 billion Akon cryptocurrency city underway. Former Prudential CEO says now's the time to buy Bitcoin. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies. Getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com. Subscribe to Bitcoin.com's YouTube channel, too.
Bear, the rescue dog, had very flaky skin, dropping a lot of fur, and the vet wanted to do steroid injections. That was at a dead end.
DINOVITE.com.
Probably 6 weeks after we started using Dynavite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch. It was awesome.
You get some Dynavite, how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves Dynavite for 90 days.
DINOVITE.com.
Not shaving irritation. Shave Secret Shaving Oil can help stop it. Shave Secret doesn't cost much and is an all-American product. My name is Chuck Howard, and I developed Shave Secret and pioneered its use starting back in 1991. Ingrown hairs drove me nuts for years. Shaving oil changed all that. Why put up with ingrown hair, bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts? Shave Secret provides men and women with what we believe is the best shave ever. Our proprietary blend of 100% natural base and essential oils plus a hint of menthol was designed to help eliminate shaving irritations like ingrown hairs, bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts. We'll lose those shaving irritations. Available at Super Walmart, H-E-B, Wegmans, Giant Eagle, Discount Drug, Navy and Marine Exchanges, Amazon, and ShaveSecret.com. Use the code FTL for Free Talk Live and get a discount. Shave Secret, the best shave ever.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-450-3733, 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. You can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
Want to tell you about Divvy? Divvy is a new, easy-to-use cryptocurrency. And by new, I mean newer than, say, Bitcoin. It's been around for a few years, and we've talked about it here on Free Talk Live for some time. Divvy is, its goal is to be so easy that your grandmother can use it. And when they roll out this new wallet that they've just put into the closed beta, well, not too long ago in the closed beta, things are going well, by the way, then you'll be able to send and receive money, exchange it between, you know, whatever your local currency is, whether it's U.S. dollars or, I don't know, drachma or whatever it is. And you'll be able to, and cryptocurrency, you'll be able to do it all there in the wallet in more than 200 countries, and it'll be as easy to use as, you know, using, say, PayPal or something like that. Check them out, divvyproject.org. And just for those that are interested in getting in to make a little money, Divvy's price increased from mid-March to mid-July by 10 times. And that's in conjunction with their new wallet and a few other advancements that they've had. When the new wallet does come out in force, will it go up another 10 times? Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I can tell you that we're pretty happy here at Free Talk Live with having hooked up with Divvy. So D-I-V-I, Divvy as in division, D-I-V-I project.org. Let's go to David calling in from New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, another observation. I had another court hearing, which was instructive in some ways, but going back to a previous hearing, well, one of the things I didn't share yet, when I had a hearing with in the case of KUNM, the radio station there, and they're journalists at radio stations, right? When they do a radio show on, and every radio show is on a political topic, they would generally be classified as journalists. Is that correct?
I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, if they're on a public radio station, they're supposed to be unbiased, and that's the idea of journalism. Sure.
No, I'm kind of against the idea of having a classification of journalism. Like, I figured the entire point of having, you know, the first of the Bill of Rights be our freedom of press is that everyone gets to be a journalist if and when they decide to be so.
Yeah, I agree with that one. But I bring that up because I heard an interview, I think it was with Glenn Beck, I think is where I heard it, but I'm not positive. But he was interviewing Ari Fleischer, which most people, or many people, know who Ari Fleischer is. And one of the things, Ari Fleischer, actually, he was on the NPR, he was an NPR mainstay for many, many years, I believe. I'm getting the wrong guy, maybe. That's the right guy. He's an NPR dude. And he also teaches classes at universities. And he did an informal, non-scientific survey in his classes of his students, and he asked them to raise their hand based on their political affiliation. And I think he did it like twice, I believe, in two different classes totaling, you know, around 40 students, 35, 40 students. Like I said, it's just a non-scientific deal. But all but one of them of these people were Democrat. And not a single one was Republican, and one was a Libertarian. And these are the journalism students at whatever universities he was teaching at, which is so. And now, so if we go back to the University of New Mexico, these students and staff that run this KUNM radio station and this Let's Talk New Mexico radio program, they obviously. In most cases, the journalists that do these radio station radio programs, most of them came out of the journalism or broadcast media programs at those universities. And I would bet that 100% of these did, like at most universities. And so they're journalists. And so then if Ari Fleischer's survey holds somewhat true, then one can deduce that they are 100% or virtually 100% leftists as opposed to libertarian or rightists. And then if you do one more step, if you look at their, you know, like if you go to their website, KUNM.org, and look at what you can see in photo, you know, visual stuff and listen to whatever you would listen to there, you would, you know, I'd be willing to bet $1,000 cash to anybody who wants to take the bet right now that the vast majority of their content would be, you know, of the from the left viewpoint, supporting the left and against the right. And so that's what is at a radio station like this. And I know that's different than what I started with. I just thought.
Now, was that the same radio station that was the college broadcasts station, or
right, the one that's got it in for David for making telephone calls to them and giving their opinion when they ask for people to make telephone calls and give their opinion? And then I think probably more importantly, he was sort of banned from the show. He didn't call into the show. Then he called into another show on the station, and they decided, well, that the ban that they had given to him for the show was for the station, and so they arrested him for making a telephone call. And this was the hearing, and what happened with it?
This was the latest in a long series of hearings, and there's going to be 10 times more hearings than have already happened. But the latest one was fine. It was in direct contrast. This judge was a Victor Valdez, and if this ever gets back to you, Victor, I enjoyed talking to you, even though you would think that I didn't, because I basically put him to the test like I did these other judges. And his reaction, you know, whatever Victor Valdez is in his own mind and whatever Democrat, whatever he is as a total package, his behavior and response is completely different than the previous judges, which, you know, that were rather wanting to shut me up and put me in my place. And they were of a different demographic and different personality character type, you know, just based on my casual assessment. But going back to a previous hearing, what was notable that I didn't get a chance to mention yet is one of the techniques that I used on that was Felicia Blair Rivera, and that I've used in the past and that I'll use again in the future, is when a judge, when I assert myself in the courtroom, and you can key on the first letters of assert if you want to, but within my rights, and the judge snaps back at me in a uncalled for nature, like Felicia Blair Rivera did to me, by saying, I don't think that I have to answer to you. One of my comebacks is, well, you're not answering to me, and I wasn't speaking to you. I was speaking to the record because I need to create a record from which to appeal.
You think she'd know that as a judge.
Right.
So was this Victor Valdez a judge that actually cared about justice? Because, I mean, they do exist. They're just like unicorns is all.
Well, I don't know. We haven't gotten that far yet. Well, all we got so far with Victor Valdez, we've gotten to the point where he seems to be a decent person, which I cannot say for Felicia Blair Rivera or David Murphy. So that's where we got. And to finish what I was saying about the Blair Rivera, and further I go on to tell her and other judges like her, and further, when you respond to me, you're not responding to me. You are responding to the record, because once...
Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
Do you want more businesses accepting Bitcoin Cash and Dash? Now, with AnyPay, you earn passive income for every purchase at those businesses. Finally, a financial incentive to spread Bitcoin Cash and Dash. You made it happen, so you receive the rewards. Download the AnyPay Cash Register app and add your cryptocurrency wallet addresses. Then, install it at a real-life business and tell us what you did at AnyPayInc.com. AnyPayInc.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Officials in Portland are calling to stop the violence. This after a man was killed Saturday night during clashes between pro and anti-Trump demonstrators. Portland Police Chief Chuck Lovell.
We ask that anyone with information or video or eyewitness accounts please come forward and share that information with our investigators so we can quickly resolve this case.
More on the protests from Jennifer Dowling of KOIN-TV.
People traded insults. Arguments became heated. And at times, some people got out of their vehicles and got into confrontations with those on foot. At one point, we saw people in a truck firing paintball guns and pepper spray at pedestrians after someone threw something at their vehicle. There were so many confrontations going on for several blocks, it was too numerous to count. Street medics were caring for many who were hit by projectiles or maced by opposing groups.
This is USA Radio News. National Intelligence Director John Radcliffe says there will be no more in-person briefings to Congress. Radcliffe told Fox News Sunday Morning Futures he believes lawmakers leaked classified information to portray Russia as a greater national threat than China.
I'm going to continue to keep the promises that I made. I'm going to continue to follow the law. I'm going to continue to keep Congress informed. But we've had a pandemic of information being leaked out of the intelligence community, and I'm going to take the measures to make sure that that stops.
House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says the intel gathered on foreign election interference belongs to the American public and should not be kept under wraps. A 25-year-old Nevada man appears to be the first documented case of COVID-19 reinfection in the U.S. Researchers reported that a patient who tested positive with the virus in April, then tested negative twice afterwards, was reinfected with the virus in May. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Free Talk Live. Call in, talk about whatever is on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
The number 855-450-3733. It's 855-453. So, previously we were talking about a situation in Australia where apparently, in their wisdom, they have passed some kind of law that says that rape victims may not discuss their own case, even after a conviction has occurred. They may not only identify their perpetrator that has been duly convicted, but they may not identify themselves in sort of a public forum, whatever the form of the press might take.
And I kind of wanted you to clarify your position on this, because you were pointing out that, well, even the rapist, after they've served their time, has a right to sort of start anew. And I didn't quite fit that into what we were talking about.
Well, so in the United States, it's like the exact opposite of the U.S. In the U.S., in Australia, somebody rapes somebody, and that somebody apparently does some kind of time and then gets out, and then there's basically no record of it because nobody's allowed to talk about it. Sound fair?
Like, no.
Representation of the law?
Yes. Or, I mean, as far as I know.
And then here in the United States, you pee behind a tree in public, get a sex charge as a result of, you're bearing what God gave you to the world.
Behind a bar at 3 a.m., yeah. Not like in the park at a tree.
It's usually about where it goes.
And then you are convicted as a sex offender, put on the sex offender list, can't live within 1,000 feet of a school, can't, you know, do a variety of things. And, I mean, admittedly, this is a small amount of the people who are convicted of sex crimes, but the vast majority of people convicted of sex crimes have never gotten a trial. So we don't know what they did. Because here in the United States, trials are an anachronism. Now, they likely signed a piece of paper, and I'm not saying that sex crimes don't occur. I'm not saying any of this stuff. All I'm saying...
Well, the problem is you're lumping in child rapists with public intoxication and urination.
Yeah.
Those two things don't belong in the same universe.
They don't. I think that in the U.S. that we probably have a perception that people can't change their ways around sex crimes. And the fact of the matter is that, yes, they can. Most, or at least a large percentage of people who get out of prison, most of the people who get out of prison from a sex crime do not go back in for a sex crime. So
do we know that those people actually committed a sex crime in the first place, though?
It's not my job to figure that out.
As he pointed out, the majority of them, we don't go to trial. And that's the problem with not going to trial, is that we don't know for sure whether they actually did these things.
Well, a trial wouldn't tell me for sure. A U.S. trial wouldn't tell me that for sure either. I don't. There's no.
Well, I mean, it would at least give you a hint.
There's no way to give you a statistic on this, because that's not how
records work. There's a meaningless event, which is a U.S. conviction,
okay,
which is meaningless in the realm of fact and fiction. And then based on a non-fact, we're going to say, therefore, it's possible to repent, or whatever word you want to use, from being an actual sex offender.
So what I would say is that people are capable of changing. Even somebody who's an actual sex offender is capable of changing their behavior. And if they have done what they are sentenced to do as far as crime goes, and look, if somebody made me Secretary of the Department of Corrections for, you know, some given state, I would do entirely different things than what we currently do. There's no way I'm going to take somebody with a DUI, somebody with a murder charge, a bank robber, and a sex offender, and throw them all in the same place and expect good results. That doesn't make any sense at all. What makes sense is that the sex offenders go through some kind of counseling that would help them in whatever way
If they're not actually sex offenders, then they don't belong in jail or probation or anything
else. I can't fix...
If they are in fact actually sex offenders, then they need counseling from Smith & Wesson.
Well, look, I get where you're coming from on the you know, being pretty unhappy with sex offenders. However, it's a species that's here because of procreation, right? And there's going to be deviations in that arena of procreation. And don't forget, rape was a reality historically, and we just have to sort of weed this out.
Well, you don't weed it out by letting them wander around society and continue to rape people. You weed it out by shooting them in the face.
Well, by God, I never suggested that anybody be able to wander around society and continue to rape people.
Okay, because it sounded that way as long as they already did their time and got counseling.
No. When they do their time and they got counseling in the prison, then they should be able to get out. If they do it again, then, you know, maybe... Look, if you want a good sentence for me as a judge, because I was just playing the Secretary of Department of Corrections, you want me to be a judge? All right. I find what I consider to be a real-life sex offender, and I give them whatever period of time in prison that I think is appropriate. Say, 5 or 10 years. All right? That's a long time by anybody's standards. Then they get out, and they're on some kind of probation specially designed for sex offenders, and potentially under chemical castration. Then we see how they deal with that particular situation for, say, a year. And then...
That sounds like a whole lot of money just for so that rapists can continue to exist.
I'm against
that. I don't mean as rapists, but to continue to exist.
Yeah, but are you suggesting that we enact a death penalty because it's gone so poorly?
I don't want the U.S. So it's kind of in the same way that if you have 50 DWIs, they take your driver's license away. If you kill people like the U.S. does, you get your killing people license taken away.
So
I don't want them doing it, but the appropriate response to an actual rapist or an actual child molester is to end their existence.
I'm not entirely. I get where you're coming from. Like taking out a bad dog, right? Like a dog that bites humans. At some point or another, you got to shoot a mad dog, right? I'm fine with that. I do believe that people can change, and I don't think that one time and one conviction is sufficient for that.
Well, a conviction doesn't tell me anything, because a conviction says that a U.S.
But that's
judge
all we've
convinced
got,
a U.S.
Melody.
Jury.
I can't create the fantasy world where we have a system run by angels that is always correct. I don't have
There's
that.
A lot in between the current U.S. system and idealizing
sure
Pakistan.
Is.
Hey, guys. So we could probably argue for 3 hours in a row on what the proper way of dealing with rapists and child molesters is, and exactly what corrections and what ways of determining we should find that they're guilty. We're not. We didn't start out talking about that. What we started out talking about was whether a person could tell their own story. And I realize that I come from a position of privilege in this, in that I was brought up with the ideals of the Bill of Rights and a very strong cultural defense of free speech. And I mean, regardless of how we're going to deal with the rapist or not, the fact that you should always be able to tell your story and be able to say, this happened to me, I mean, that strikes me as honestly an even greater danger than not sufficiently punishing our rapists. I mean, once you start telling people, you are not allowed to tell your story.
Yeah,
you are
right.
Not allowed to say that this is a story that happened to you. I mean, not only are we not correcting our problems in the right way, but we are taking a massive step away from the process that actually corrects problems.
Right, because the government, in this case the Australian, the people calling themselves the Australian government, they purport to represent you. The rapist does not purport to represent you. So there you go. That's the long and the short of that.
And that would also indicate to me that if these victims are still wanting to tell their story publicly 10, 15, 20, however many years later, that problem is still ongoing. So if the victim's not off the hook yet, neither should the perpetrator.
Yeah, the perpetrator should be responsible in a perfect world for paying for the counseling for the victim. And that would be certainly a preference. Check out freetalklive.com. Go there. Sign up for our newsletter at freetalklive.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
All right, it's another edition of the Edge and Control Show. I am Mark Edge, coming to you for Free Talk Live. Today I have with me Alan Mintzer. Alan, you're with Standard Hydrogen, which is a company that apparently has the ability to help us clean up the oceans?
That is correct. We have technology that can do that over time, yes.
Can you tell me about it? Because this is obviously everybody hears about the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. It's a horrifying notion that there's just trash from all over the world floating out there in these giant, I wouldn't call them islands because you can't walk on them, but these giant patches out in the Pacific Ocean. And I'm sure the Atlantic probably has its fair share too.
They exist in every ocean and they're starting to form in the Mediterranean Sea and other bodies, smaller bodies of water. So it's becoming a larger problem than it already is. And it's quite a problem at this point.
So how do you grab it?
That's an interesting story. And without getting into too much science here, I don't want to lose anybody. It all centers around a chemical called hydrogen sulfide. If anybody's had high school chemistry, they'll remember that their chemistry professor or chemistry teacher created this really bad smelling stuff that smelled like rotten eggs. That's hydrogen sulfide. And hydrogen sulfide happens to be a very toxic and corrosive gas. So you generally don't want to have it around. So our technology originally was created for the oil and gas industry. Refineries, on average, create about 1,000 tons a day of the stuff. So the EPA wants them to eliminate it without dumping it into the air, sea, and water.
I'm with them. Yeah, that sounds good.
And as is everybody else. And fortunately for us, they have a rather old and expensive process to do that work. But our process is a lot less expensive and a lot cleaner. That's where our patented technology comes in. It was originally invented for the oil and gas refining industry to help them clean up the hydrogen sulfide.
So how's it work?
It's a relatively simple process. You heat the hydrogen sulfide and it splits into hydrogen and sulfur. And then you harvest the hydrogen and you reuse the sulfur. Very easy, very clean, very cost efficient. But then we started to think a little further and we realized that it's relatively easy to take hydrocarbon wastes and convert that into hydrogen sulfide. So if you have, let's say, plastics, used tires, wood, paper, rotting food, most of the clothing on your back, your furniture, your mattress, anything that has hydrogen in it, we can take that and convert it into hydrogen sulfide.
Did you just call wood a hydrocarbon?
Wood is a hydrocarbon. It has carbon in it and it has hydrogen in it. It's a hydrocarbon. Anything that has carbon and hydrogen is a hydrocarbon.
Got it. Okay.
So we can easily convert those hydrocarbon wastes into hydrogen sulfide. And that process, that technology has been around for decades. The patents have all expired on that technology. It's public domain. The only thing is up until now, nobody's wanted to use that because why would anybody want to take plastic and wood and paper and convert it into a toxic corrosive gas?
Right, but you have a process that turns that toxic corrosive gas into something that is inert and, you know, just very common.
And valuable.
Yeah.
Actually, it's valuable because the hydrogen is the wave of the future. So, Mark, you're absolutely right. Now that we've come along with this patented technology, we can make a lot of hydrogen, which the whole goal for hydrogen is to create a hydrogen economy where you're using hydrogen to fuel your cars and your trains and your buses, your planes, your boats, anything else that uses fossil fuels. So once we can create enough of the hydrogen, we can supplant all of the fossil fuels.
Alan Mintzer, what was it like the day that you discovered that you can take plastics and used tires and the crap that's floating in the ocean, the things that people don't like and are all upset about, and that you could turn it into a new reusable fuel? Explain to me how you found that out and what your emotional state was like when you found it out.
We have a brilliant chemist who invented the original technology for splitting the hydrogen sulfide into the hydrogen and sulfur. We were having discussions on using that technology, and he just casually mentioned, as an aside, he said, oh, you know, we can turn hydrocarbon waste, just anything with hydrogen and carbon, we could turn that into hydrogen sulfide easily. And I said, you're kidding, right? He says, no, it's easy. And he didn't see it being, I don't know, maybe he's just a scientist and not the businessman. I don't look too deeply into it. But the point was that I'm thinking, and a few of my partners are thinking, wow, there's a lot of hydrocarbon waste out there. And when you think about it, if you think about climate change, now that's a subject that debate has both two sides to it, and people come down on either side. But when you consider that you're putting diesel particulates in the air and other pollutants in the air through cars and buses and trains and everything else, if you can eliminate that, that's one of the biggest problems we face here on Earth today.
Right, it does.
And now you're looking at this hydrocarbon waste issue, and I tend to think that that might be a problem that's even worse than the issues that you face with fossil fuel use. So when we realized that, then we started looking at the numbers, and we started doing some research, and we found that one of those patches in the Pacific Ocean that you were talking about, Mark, is 77 million square miles.
Concept as to how big that is. Is that Asia?
Well, I can tell you there's another patch that's equivalent in size to Europe, India, and Mexico combined.
All right, now I got an idea.
There you go. So the idea is that these floating patches of garbage are pretty much about 70-75% plastic. So there are other things in there that we might be able to make use of, but when you consider plastic and the fact that it doesn't degrade well, we can easily turn that into hydrogen sulfide, and then from there you've got clean burning hydrogen to eliminate the fossil fuels. So we realize that we can now combat the two biggest problems, or the two biggest perceived problems that face us today, and that is pollution on one side and fossil fuel use on the other. And we're doing that all at once. In fact, the more hydrogen we produce, the more waste we clean up, because our feedstock is waste, is garbage.
So when it comes to hydrogen, so people may come down different sides on this this whole global warming thing. However, let's leave that aside for a second. How cheap is the hydrogen to make in this process? And how does it compare, say, to drilling in the ground and then processing fossil fuels and making gasoline as far as cost goes? So, you know, let's leave the creation of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere out of the situation. How's it compare as far as costs go?
Well, right now, the state of California is the most progressive state at rolling out the hydrogen economy. So they're subsidizing the use of hydrogen and the creation of hydrogen, and they've got the price at about $16 a kilogram. They're hoping to get it down to $12 a kilogram. And I'll give you the conversions to gallons and dollars in a minute. But you get an idea, in California, where things are best, it's $12 to $16 a kilogram.
Okay.
The cost for us to produce hydrogen, because of our model, business model, and the fact that our feedstock is garbage, we can actually get the cost of our hydrogen to below zero.
Right, you're making money on it. Okay.
We're making money before we ever see the hydrogen.
Mm.
It literally costs us below zero to make. So we can price the hydrogen at $4 and $5 a kilogram. So now when you talk about how does that compare to gasoline and US dollars, $4 a kilogram equates to approximately $1.75 a gallon for gasoline. $5 a kilogram equates to about $2.24 a gallon of gasoline. So we can sell the hydrogen we produce at $4 to the stations. They could mark it up, let's say $1 a kilogram, and sell it at $5 a kilogram, which is equivalent to $2.24 a gallon.
How about a car? I know that they've been talking about hydrogen running cars. How hard would it be to get this hydrogen from wherever, from the pump into the car? And
well, it would be a very similar process to what you have now.
Okay.
There'll be a pump on every service station, and you'll pull up and you'll take the you'll take the wand out of the pump, and you'll put it into your car, and it will pump hydrogen instead of gasoline, and it'll take 3, 4, 5 minutes, just like it takes to fill up your car now. And when it's full, you'll put the hose back into the pump, and you'll close your tank, and you'll drive away.
And as far as making a vehicle that burns hydrogen, how's that compare to a normal vehicle today?
Well, think about a car having a range of, let's say, 300 to 400 miles. If you have a 6-kilogram tank in your car and it costs you $30 to fill up, you'll probably be able to drive between 400 and 600 miles.
How about cost in the buying of the car? I mean, in the production of the car.
And the production of the car, probably you won't have a motor and you won't have a transmission. It'll be very much like a Tesla, as a good example, but where you have a battery pack providing electricity in a Tesla, you won't have a battery pack in a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle. You'll have a hydrogen fuel cell. And when you feed hydrogen to a hydrogen fuel cell, the only thing you get from that is pure water.
It's nice
to have pure water coming out of the tailpipe.
What about the use of rare earth metals in the production of these cars?
Not necessary.
Alan Mintzer, Standard H2, as in the hydrogen molecule. StandardH2.com.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be a part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream for people to use it for everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that is as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and give you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.